grand consummation before our soul, if ever it was needed, is in our day. My remarks, I may say that I wish to keep within the confines of our readings up to date, Romans, Acts and Romans, and 12 Corinthians. In regard to our subject, the body of Christ, of which every believer, sealed with, who has believed the gospel, sealed with the Holy Spirit, is a member. That's the only membership in regard to Christianity that we could scripturally consider. Members, one of another, members of the body of Christ. And in view of all that is being done, beloved, God has a consummation worthy of himself. And that's why I read the last picture. Well, we have that before us. I don't know any greater incentive for gospel preaching than the scripture last read, that in the Revelation, for there cannot be failure. There simply cannot be failure. And the preacher starts there. Success is assured. And that consummation, no doubt that will come out later in our meetings. And I only briefly refer to it. The reference has already been made, and it's well to have that before us as the grand consummation. And the result of all the gospel teaching, in the power of the Spirit of God, is seen in results and seen to be worthy of God who devised it. And to be consummated in that way as a vessel of light and glory that to take up administration to the glory of God. What a wonderful prospect. Now then, we began our readings in the second chapter of the Acts, going to the very beginning, and the beginning was grand too. Many Christians, they rely on the beginning and rather dwindle as we see things failing in man's responsibility. But after all, it's a grand thing, dear friends, even in regard to the gospel, to get to God's side of things, and success is definitely assured. I want to refer to the place that the body fills as giving it a place of distinction and dignity at the present time, which excels anything that can be considered, which men take up. It would direct us, dear friends, with purpose and to see things in their proper perspective. For in these things we need a readjustment of assessment. Surely the things of God are the best, the grandest, and the highest, and the most dignity is connected with that. Our pursuits, rather than betray, that we hold the contrary, and we're inclined to pursue what men are pursuing. All we can grasp why we have a man, a reference to a man who had all of these things in his grasp, and through them, not regardless, or in any extravagant or fanatical way, but with due deliberation, due consideration, in an assessment of values and flung them into the gutter. A brother of mine used to say, and shall we look into the gutter for the things that a man has thrown down? And the high positions, dear friends, are they not acquired, taking them up from where one has flung them, or flung them into the gutter in a third of Philippians? I refer to it in this way, that he is a man who is the one man whose lead we can follow in that we had a heaven-given assessment value of these things. And so this is the man, the next nine, was converted appropriately, for he was the one who was the apostle of the Gentiles, and rightly considered the body is only the body that's free, comprising the Jews of Gentiles as well as the Jews. So in Acts 2, where it had its beginning, in the descent of the Holy Spirit from heaven, from God, from heaven, doing as God pleases, giving God his hand in sovereignty to do as he pleases, into his own glory, and he baptizes that despicable company who are connected with Jesus the Nazarene. Why, in the crucifixion, the Lord, the person of the crucifixion, the little maid was bold and courage, knowing she had all the leading men on her side against Jesus of Nazareth. So she could speak contemptuously the fear. Thou wast the Lord of this man. She is pointing out Jesus, the Nazarene. So Paul is a servant, he's an appointed official servant. Yet this is service in a very special way. There's never been one like Paul, there never will. He served his purpose to deliver, recommit the good of all the ministry which God gave to that man. And therein lies our responsibility, you said. Our responsibility is to mind on the level of what God recovered and gave to Martin Luther in justification by faith, as good as that is. And how we value that. But the whole truth of the mystery of God was given to Paul, it was unfolded. And God has very graciously considered us for good and revived us the truth, or revived the truth to us. And we stand at the end of the dispensation, able to consider the things that were given to this man, the Apostle Paul. It's a wonderful privilege to be guilty to be considering these things, even though our numbers have their limits. Never mind. Now I just want to say the place the body fills in regard to this matter. Of course, the Lord Jesus came here. How blessed. How blessed. The truth of that opens up to us. But in view of his coming, it was to die, and he's gone back to glory, and all the movements of God are from that place. The Spirit of God was sent down from an ascended place. A glorified place. For the despised believers to be in an entity, and remain in an entity, right unto the rapture of the saints. And that in view, all that God is doing by Christ on the cross, for in fact the Apostle Jesus is considered as a servant. His servant. He's glorified his servant Jesus, because no one could engage on such a service as that which is entrusted to Jesus. I have finished. The emphasis on the I, no one else could take it up. I have finished. Work which thou gavest me to do. But then there's a sequel to that, isn't there? And of course we've made a reference to the consummation in the Revelation. There's a day of display, of course there is. A wonderful day of display when God will display himself and will display Jesus and will display his saints. Those who despise the saints, they'll have to know that we have been loved by the Father. That's a wonderful thing. And so in the meantime, the body becomes a vessel of testimony between the time of Jesus having come and Jesus returning, and then there will be the consummation of which the scriptures speak, for when we get the reference to glory, Hebrews 2, he is bringing many sons to glory, that message is going to bring us to that consummation, that day of display, within the competent hands, the captain of our salvation, who is bringing many sons to glory. That gives the body that wonderful place in all the Lord Jesus bore witness to, in view of the glory which is to follow, the saints are in that place in its absence to maintain as a repository all the blessed thoughts of God. They're the very things that we are enjoying at the very moment. So even a Jew, to know the hopes that a Jew has, they can learn in the assembly. You can't learn it from a Jew, but you learn it in the truth which even the assembly maintains until the Jew comes into it all. I want to refer to the place the Epistle Romans serves as the groundwork, the quarry work. And that's why we have the emphasis on the death of Christ in the Epistle Romans. It's God's emphasis that in regard to the material which is going to form the body of Christ, it definitely will not be what man is in the flesh. Are every one of us clear about that point? Are we persuaded on that point, dear friends? Well, that which does comprise the body is not what we are at our best. It's not what we are in our best esteem. For the emphasis in Romans is that the death of Christ was a necessity. Christ came that in dying he might do what nothing else could do. He came to remove all that was offensive and which was attached to you and me. As responsible beings here, and the Epistle of the Romans, the chapter 8, is devoted to showing how God, in an able way, was able to deal with that foreign element which could not be introduced into the scheme of things. And so death has become a divine necessity. What the law could not do, in that it is weak through the flesh. God having sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for a sacrifice for sin, has condemned sin in the flesh. These are things that have to be kept before us, dear friends. Paul and David, they should be kept before the Romans. And it's on that sure groundwork, that sure base which God himself has dug the foundations, that in regard to that, there can now be something considered of his own workmanship, which is referred to in the Epistle of Romans and what it is to be in Christ. Do we need to know that after our history with God, that we have a standing before God in that new place? It's one of the things that Mr. Stone impressed, that is true of the Christian. What is true of everyone who has believed the gospel and received the Holy Spirit, that is, that we have a new place in heaven in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? But we also have a new interest here on earth. Two things. A new place in heaven, which is in Christ. Abraham has that place. Abraham has a place in heaven, but not in Christ. It's peculiar. Read the Ephesians, you'll find that the scripture quoted by our brother, that the blessings, the spiritual blessings, are in the heavenlies, but they are definitely in Christ. Now we also have, and since we don't need to stretch our imaginations in referring to this, that we are here left on this earth. But we have a new interest here on earth, and that is Christ's interest. It's a wonderful thing is that. That's in connection with the body. It brings us to chapter 12, where we read that by that dedication, and this is a point, beloved, where this responsive affection on your part and mine will give an opportunity, a Have you ever considered why you get the account of the crucifixion of the Lord in the Gospels at the end of every Gospel? It's given to us that we might know for certainty and forever that we've clear from the world which crucified him, and our hearts are attached forever to that man whom this world defied. And we have the backing of God in this, in that the very one this world defies, God has a new beginning in the one who is raised from the dead and is set him on high, and we have a place in him, and we have his interest here on this earth. Depend upon it, in the faithfulness of the Lord, as the scripture quoted by our brother in Acts 9, when they were persecuted the saints, the Lord said, "Why persecutest thou me?" And so, in view of the time of the consummation, you can consider it from Pentecost right on the rapture, all ending his epistle. We come to this point. He said, "The God of peace, the God who will remove every trace of confusion." God is not the author of confusion. In this world there is confusion. There was confusion before we were born. And someone has said, when we were born, we added to that confusion. But the cross is God's way of dealing with that. That's where God enters into the, how he will settle the question of good and evil. He settles it in the cross of Christ. And we have the man of his pleasure there where our interest is centered. And the God of peace will rule Satan, the one who is opposed to Christ's interest here in this world. And Paul is an active agent in this. There's many an unbeliever, they are passive after Christianity, the cause of the least resistance. But there was a man who could scarcely sleep at night in the way of a stirring zeal to be actively opposed to all the interests of Christ, and that was Paul of Tarsus. The devil was there to oppose the interests of Christ. But in this it says, the God of peace, the one who is able to deal with all confusion that exists in this world, the God of peace will bruise the very heart of that confusion on your feet shortly. But in the meantime, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, as he is with us at this very moment and all through our course. Isn't that a blessed consolation? It mentions himself and maintains us in the interests which interest him here in this world, and here to see the things which are of more value, the things which are, as Philippians, the prayer in Philippians refers to the things which are more excellent. We have brought to those very things. Now, I refer to the gospel. We are more acquainted with the gospel than anything. But God has an end. That's also the pressed in our readings, and it's well to have it before us. And the last verses of the Epistle of Romans tells us that by that very gospel, and the whole of these 16 chapters, which are so ably given to us, showing us God's way out of the ruin in which we are by nature, and bringing us into a salvation with God's own devising, and into a new place which he gives us in Christ in glory, the very gospel, there's a mystery in connection with it which is now unfolded to us. And the New Testament prophets are those who unfold the truth of that. That the gospel has this end in view, to provide the material, the material that is discovered by the gospel, and those who believe the gospel, and the Holy Ghost seals those who believe, in view of them being that material which God ever had in view, that they could be the members one of another, bringing that body into light, into prominence, The mystery in connection with the gospel has set in view, brings the body into view, and it's a great thing, beloved, that the consummation is given to us. Well, as in the 15th of 1 Corinthians, the last verse, a verse that will support us in all we say, he says in regard to this, he says, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast in all that labor that you're engaging for the Lord. For it's given to you, for as much as you may know that such labor is not in vain in the Lord, in that it has a grand consummation, that heavenly city, that vessel of light and glory, where God, the glory of God will receive in the, as the, in the reference to the verse of the jasper stone, it's a crystal-like jasper stone, one that has been cut, but capable of reflecting light